Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness in this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses.
Yes.
So I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Precious Lord, in the name of our Lord, the God of the Old Testament and the New, we say thank you. Thank you for courage. Thank you for strength. Thank you for guidance. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for kindness.
Yes.
Thank you for redemption. Thank you for sanctification. Thank you, Father God, for rising from the dead on the third day like you said you would. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Has there ever been a time in the life of the believers in our day and age where we need to be strong and courageous? Think about it. I listen to Deacon Jeremy talking, just talking. We live in a world that has been literally turned upside down. And God is still commanding us as believers to live holy. Live holy. As he was talking to Joshua, and I think about this, that command that God says, without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. That ain't our holiness. That ain't our holiness, and that's not something we can achieve on our own. God has to give us the strength and the power to live holy lives. We talked about Joshua as this is the, I believe this is the fourth sermon out of this series, and I thought I could do it in maybe two or three, but I take my time. I'm not in a hurry. I told you guys I'm not in a hurry. But God has given Joshua a God-sized endeavor.
Yes.
take the people into the land of promise. Now, God's never going to call us to do anything without providing us with what is needed to do it. So we talked about God being a giver, and God gave Joshua power. He's encouraging Joshua. And when God calls us to do something, we can rest assured if God called us to do it, he's going to fulfill in us what's needed to do it. Mm-hmm. It may not always be pretty, and it may not always be what we want it to be, but the promise of God in Acts 1:8 says, "But ye shall receive power." That's a promise. That's a promise to every believer. Is there anything more frustrating? Is there anything more for me? Let me speak for myself. There's nothing more troubling to my spirit than a powerless Christian. A Christian with no fight. A Christian with no energy. That's apathetic. So if you say you're saved, if you say you've been born again, if you say you have the power of God living in you, it's got to be doing something.
Amen.
Okay? The power of God not sitting around doing Netflix. Okay? The power of God ain't sleeping all day. It just ain't doing it. Let me tell you why. Here's what the Word of God says. I didn't stay on the Word of God. "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come on upon you." Why Paul? Or why Peter? "And ye shall be witnesses." You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. One of the evidence that you have the power of God in you is that you have a desire to tell somebody about Jesus. About that. What, think about this. You out somewhere. And somebody says, "Well, you know, 80% of the world, 80% of people say they're Christians." When is the last time somebody walked up to you somewhere? And I don't mean you got your Holy Ghost garment on. You know, you ain't got your Jesus 316 shirt on. I got my Too Blessed to Be Stressed hat on. You're not wearing none of that. You're just out and you're just looking regular, okay? And somebody talked to you about Jesus. Think about it. When does that stuff, something like that happen? It hasn't happened in a while. Why? Because we're sort of like incognito Christians. We're like undercover Christians. You go to a store, and I don't go to the store too much no more because I don't like people following me around. Okay. I can go to the store. I can be in a 3-piece suit. And people follow me around. I recognize them because I'm a security guy. I said, dude, I'm not gonna steal nothing. Okay, I'm not taking nothing. All right. When was the last time you were walking around incognito and somebody said, "Hey, you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior"? When Paul arrived in Thessalonians, he preached the gospel. Okay? How do I know? Word of God says he did. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. Watch this. You tell me, if you receive the Holy Spirit like this, did you receive the Holy Spirit like this? I don't think you can receive the Holy Spirit 100 different ways. Okay? And I always said, most of us coming up, we come up back 20, 30 years ago, we came up in the church. Part of you, your Christianity rested on the fact that you joined the church. How many know now that was erroneous? That was wrong. You could be a member of all the churches in Youngstown, still not be saved.
Amen.
Okay? I always say, hell is just going to be full of folks that went to church all their lives. Okay? When Paul showed up, he said this in 1 Thessalonians 1:5. And I wish I could read the whole chapter, all first chapter 1 Thessalonians. It's just powerful. But Paul says this in verse 5. He's talking about how the gospel came. He said, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only." Okay? It didn't come to you in word only. But also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Can you imagine sitting under Paul's teaching? Can you imagine having Paul minister to you? You ain't saved. You don't know the Lord. And here come Paul talking to you about the things of God. Paul wrote in Romans 10, 17, faith coming how? Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Remember Lydian heard Paul? Lydian heard Paul in Acts. And Lydian was a Judaizer. She was part of Judaism. She knew God, but she knew the God that didn't have a son. Okay? So the Bible says, when she heard Paul, okay, faith coming how? By hearing. And what did Paul preach? Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul didn't have no mortgage board full of messages. Paul showed up at the town and at the synagogue. He preached Jesus Christ. Folks don't have appetite for that no more. What did I tell you on Sunday school? Starting 2 weeks when I get done with Joshua, I'm going to preach Jesus Christ for the rest of the year.
Amen.
Okay? For the rest of the year. I'm not going to even waver. It's just going to be every Sunday, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You're going to have Jesus Christ coming out your ears.
Amen.
Okay, I'm going to preach Jesus Christ. And you know what? You know what I found out when God spoke to my heart about that? It's inexhaustible.
Amen.
It's inexhaustible. Now, I can sit there and say, honestly, that we've been preaching Jesus Christ here for as long as I've been here.
Amen.
Okay? But we're just going to continue doing it. Okay? Let's keep going. What did Joshua need to do this task? He not only needed power, he needed wisdom. We talked about wisdom. Okay? You can't do God's work without God's wisdom. See, this is where we go wrong at. We try to do God's work with man's wisdom. Okay. Remember I told you the story about the Chinese missionary that came to America, and he was looking at all the big churches, all the Crystal Cathedral, all the churches, 30,000 members, 40,000 members. You know, he looked at all these mega churches. And when he got on the airplane to leave, the guy that was touring him around asked him the question. He said, Wong Sung Ho? I don't know if that's his real name. He said, what do you think? What do you think about all the churches in America? And you know what Wong Sung Su said? I'm amazed at how much they can do without Jesus. Whew. Colossians 3:16, talking about wisdom. Talking about wisdom. Here's Joshua. Joshua, here's what you need. If you're going to do my work, if you're going to be a skilled warrior, if you're going to be a wise man of God, if you're going to be a national leader, a military commander, you need to let the word of God dwell in you. How? Richly. Richly. As men and women of God, listen, we come out here faithfully on Wednesday nights and Sunday morning. Well, we could easily drop in a Thursday and a Friday. We can get enough. We can't get enough.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to let the word of God dwell in us richly. How? How does that happen? By studying God's word, by meditating on God's word, by living out God's word, by applying God's word in our lives. When we go out into the world, we got the word of God in us, and we're going to apply the word of God. We're going to make use of it. We're going to talk to people about it. And then we find out where we're weak at when we talk to people mm-hmm. about the things of God. Paul, Joshua needed wisdom. I this one hit me last week. I can say on it again. You certain sermons you can just preach over and over again. But last week, when I talk about this verse, Hebrews 10:36. This one, you just catch a verse sometime and it just grabs you. The verse just grabs you and say, you're not leaving me until you get a real understanding of what I am saying here. Because we got this crazy notion of what patience is, okay? And we got a person here, I'm not going to call her out. We got a patient here that don't like patience. That's just troubled by that word. That's her own little thing. It's honest. But Hebrews 10:36, look at this verse. Look at this verse. And one of the things that Joshua needed was patience. One of the things that all of us need is patience. Okay? Biblical patience. How about I put that on it? Biblical patience. Biblical patience. The ability to endure difficult situations and people without giving up hope or becoming angry. Biblical patience. My niece was here. My niece came stay with us for a week, spring break. Man. Whew.
Amen.
Man. I ain't Cindy. No, Cindy ain't here. Listen. Oh, just hair and nails and eyelashes and just in the mirror, on the phone, on the tap. I mean, I'm sitting here like, what is going on? Let me get this verse because I needed it this week. See, this is what I mean by applying. Watch this. Hebrews 10:36. For ye have need of patience. The ability to endure. The ability to endure difficult situations. What do I always say? You know, if you stop halfway through the race, you don't finish. Okay? Okay? To me, salvation is those who endure to the end. And you stop. Okay? If it's a mile run and you do 800 meters, you're not getting nothing. You just quit. Okay? So the writer of Hebrews is saying, for ye have need of patience. Watch. I say, why, writer of Hebrews, who I think is Paul, but I say, why, writer of Hebrews, do I have such a need of patience? Watch what it says. What a powerful verse. Maybe it's just powerful to me. Somebody probably say, it's just powerful to you. It don't mean nothing to me. But it means, this means a ton to me. Watch. For you have need of patience. Why? That after you have done the will of God. You can't do the will of God without patience. You can't do the will of God without patience. Let me say it one more time. Just you cannot do the will of God without biblical patience.
Amen.
Okay. Impossible. One of the fruits of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace. Long-suffering. Long-suffering and patience, same thing. Okay? I look at Gloria back there. Patience. I see it. It's written all over her face. One more time. Okay. I'll beat a dead horse. For you have need of patience. I can go around the whole room. Put everybody's name on that verse. For you have need. If you get into heaven, you have plans on going to heaven. You need patience.
Amen.
I'm serious. For you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, doing the will of God takes patience. You need the patience of Jeremiah. Okay? Preached all his life. Preached all his life. They called him the weeping prophet. Historians say nobody came to the Lord under his ministry. People would mock me, and you know they find out you got your little 15 members, you got your little 15 member church, you know, you ain't doing nothing. I say, listen. Do you know I have more members than Noel had with him on the ark?
Amen.
And see, we get caught up. And that can get you frustrated. And say, you know, why am I doing this? Well, I only got a handful of members. Listen.
I'll tell anybody.
This is the baddest church in Youngstown.
Amen.
Right here.
Amen.
Right here. Amen. Yeah, the baddest church in Youngstown. This is, seriously. Y'all think I'm joking. Listen, one more time with this verse, and I'm going to leave it alone. I'm going to leave it alone. For you have a need of patience.
Mm-hmm.
That after you have done the will of God. Now, I would ask the question. Am I doing the will of God? I would ask the question, what is the will of God? Paul was saying in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Being sanctified, being separated from the world, doing the will of God, serving God, being thankful in everything. But this is the will of God. Can you say you're doing the will of God? You ain't got an answer to me. But you have to ask yourself. Because if you're doing the will of God, you're going to run into some stuff.
Amen.
You're going to run into some stuff. And a lot of that stuff will come from those within the house of God. Think about that. Okay, man. Because people don't want to hear the word of God no more. Somebody said it this morning, Sunday school. You know what? Well, it's just biblical. It's just biblical. The Bible said in the last days. Well, we in the last days. There's gonna be some. There's gonna be people that don't want to hear the word of God.
Amen.
How's your patience? Let me move on, because I want to finish Joshua. Because I want to talk about Jesus. God has never broken a promise. Y'all believe that? God has never broken a promise, okay? David said in Psalm 37, he said, I've been young and now I'm old, okay? Meaning, David said, I started doing this when I was young. He said, I was killing lions and tigers and bears, and I hit a giant in the head with a rock. He said, I done seen a lot. David said, I done seen a lot. You know what David said? One thing he had never seen. You want to know one thing David said he never seen? And here's a man that's just about seen everything. Greatest king of Israel all time. Okay? Bad man. Okay? Took another man's wife. Got her pregnant. Killed her husband. And act like he know nothing about it. He's seen it all. He said, I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Or they see begging. He said, I've never seen a righteous man or a righteous woman forsaken. You know why? And you have not neither. You can sit here. You can sit here and say, well, I know a whole lot of people down and out. They going through. They depressed. Let me tell you something. I'm going to stay with God's word. Okay? I'm going to stay with God's word. Some people don't like it. Well, I'm going to stay with God's word. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. If you know somebody that's forsaken that said they're a Christian, then either the Bible wrong or they're wrong. Who do you think I'm going with? His promises, he has never broken a promise. And when he told Joshua, he said, there shall not any man stand before thee all the days of thy life. He meant it. Ask Achan. Y'all remember Achan? Achan tried to stand before God and Joshua. He tried to stand before the people of God moving into the promised land. When the walls of Jericho came down and God had told him, don't take nothing. Achan went in there and stole.
Mm-hmm.
Achan went in there and stole, hid it in his house. Joshua, go out and fight the little town, Ai, little town, little bunch of town, like going to Salem, you know, or something like that. They got their heads cracked. And Joshua went, got down on his knees, praying to God. Here it is, Joshua 7:10, if you want to know. So Joshua's praying to God. He knows something wrong. Don't think Joshua got on his knees didn't know something wrong. Something wrong because God did not go back on his word.
Amen.
Okay? So when God said to Joshua, he says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of life. Wait a minute. Now Joshua's on his knees. I'm like, what about Ai? They stand before. No. God told Joshua this. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Okay? Thou got sin in the camp. Let me share something. When God told Joshua to get up, he was telling Joshua to stand on the promises that I gave you. Okay? Now, in my own little mind, I think Joshua knew something was going on with Achan. Okay? And maybe didn't want to deal with it. This is why God had told Joshua several times, be strong and of good courage. Let me tell you something. It takes courage to confront sin.
Amen.
How do I know? There's a preacher down in Texas got 30,000 members. He said, I don't preach on sin. You ain't preaching on sin, you ain't preaching the Bible. Jesus preached on sin. Strong and courageous leaders, listen, ain't perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But they're gonna stand on the word of God. They ain't gonna stand on the word of God. And he's telling Joshua, he said, Joshua, go stand on the word of God. And everything will be all right. Joshua, no, y'all know what Joshua did. I ain't got to go through it all. He went and took care of business. He took care of business. What's the lesson? Well, Paul wrote like this. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. That's a beautiful verse, ain't it? That's a beautiful verse. The word of God, listen, if you want to talk about the word of God, you know, the word of God is filled. It's just filled with biblical verses about power and strength. I don't even understand anymore. The preaching is so weak. The preaching is so soft. And so compromised. I don't even know. I listen to some of it and my heart aches. My heart aches. Because people need to hear the word of God.
Amen.
When I say it all the time, and I say it all the time, Romans 10:17, I say it all the time. Listen, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. You're not preaching the word of God. People ain't getting saved. I don't care if they join the church or not. I don't care if they're running around, hop around, fall out. You got to cover them up with sheets. If they ain't heard the word of God, they just faking. They need to hear the word of God. People need to hear the word of God. People need to be confronted. People need to hear the truth of God's word. It ain't popular. You sit out there, and sometimes, listen, don't even think that y'all looking at a preacher that got it all together, because I don't got it all together. And sometimes when God's word demands me to preach a certain message. Sometimes it's a daunting task. And so when someone Mick prays this morning, say, preach through them. Nah, that's exactly what it means. Okay? Spurgeon used to preach. He said, don't see faces. When you're preaching, don't see faces. Don't see faces. Because folks will be snarling at you. Folks, I don't even think half the people that really fall asleep in church really be sleepy. They just want to like act like, just I don't want to hear. They be faking. I think they be faking. I'm going to show him. I'm not interested in nothing. They sitting there. You ain't sleeping with your arm folded up. They don't want to hear it. So I'm like, they be like, I'm going to act like I'm asleep. They don't be asleep. They just don't want to hear it. But I holler so much. Wake them up. Delight thyself in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. Psalm 37. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of the heart. And you know your desires of the heart is going to line up with the desires of God. You're not, your heart not, if your heart is set on God, it's not going to ask you for anything that God wouldn't approve of.
Amen.
All right. Here's a great verse. If you just by looking at it, you don't see the power of God in it. But it's a powerful verse. It's a verse for the people of God. This ain't for everybody. Okay? This ain't for everybody. And let me tell you something. Deacon Jeremy hinted on it when he was talking. He be saying some stuff. I don't know if Deacon Jeremy know all the time what he be saying, but he be talking. He like to talk. Okay? He like to talk. But he be talking. And I be listening. Okay? And he said something today about the church. Let me tell you something about the church. The Bible calls the church the ecclesia, the called out people of God. This is a place where God's people, born again believers,
yes,
saints, gather to hear and thank God for his love, his mercy, and his grace.
Amen.
I ride by churches all the time. I know they all do. I don't know if y'all see like I do. I've been working in a prison all my life. I probably see a little different than you. But one of the things I see on signs outside of churches, and it says everybody's welcome. Let me tell you something. Is everybody welcome in your house? Do you have that same sign in your driveway? How many in here have that sign in their driveway? Jake, do you have a sign in your driveway with your kids? Everybody welcome. Just come on in. Go on a free break. Hey, you want to get a cry? What's some things Maya got me buying? Prime drink. Hey, give me a prize. She said, Grandpa, Papa, give me a prime. All right, I got to go to Sam's Club, get a whole case of prime. I don't want nobody else coming in there getting her prime.
Amen.
Okay. Now, I know that's what preachers, I was telling the church this morning. That's why I don't take no money from the church. Okay. When y'all put that money in that plate, I don't touch it. I don't want no money because I don't want nobody calling me in the office and saying, you can't preach that. I ain't hearing that.
Amen.
Okay, I just go back down to Iron Man and preach in the dust, you know. Let me tell you something. Romans 8:28. Watch this verse. This might be one of the great verses in the Bible. If you love Romans, the book of Romans is one of the great books in the Bible. This is one of the great verses out of Romans. Mm-hmm. Romans 8:28. Now watch this. I might stop here today. I might. Margaret, tell me no. Say don't stop, Pastor. All right, I won't stop. So Romans 8:28, watch this. Now y'all know this verse. And we know. Mm-hmm. Let me stop there. Who is the we? Who is the we? Who is the we? This is Paul writing. So if you think this verse applies to you, that's saying that you standing with Paul. Okay? Just to get it clear. Paul said, and we know, okay? No mean we have understanding. We have biblical knowledge, okay? And we know that all things work together for good. Now, some preachers will stop there, okay? They'll stop there. Because if you go any further, then it gets a little touchy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So if you stop there, you make all the sinners in the church happy. Okay? But the saints in the church say, no, Pastor, you gotta go further. You gotta go further. No, but the pastor don't want to go further because he don't wanna ostracize anybody. He don't want anybody to feel like you pick it on him. Pick on him, Pastor. Preach the word. Hey, come about here. And we know that all things, sorrows, trials, persecutions, all things work together for the good. Let me tell you something. When I go out there in prison and see some 1,800 inmates, all things ain't working together for good for them. Okay? I walked in there the other day. I seen some inmates that's been locked up since I started working in prison in 1992. Okay? Still there. I'm like, man, that life means life, don't it? Mm-hmm. All things don't work together for good for folks that don't love the Lord.
Amen.
Okay? Paul said, we know that all things work together for good to them. To them and them only that love God.
Amen.
Why is that important? The love of God. The love of God is the foundation of your faith. The love of God is the foundation of your faith. And you got to have the right God.
Amen.
Okay? Every cult known to man get Jesus wrong.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
Now I got to go out there to prison tomorrow. You know what begins tomorrow? Ramadan. Ramadan, okay? They had the wrong God. I sit in there, they do their salats, they do their prayers, you know, and they praying, Muhammad, we pray to Muhammad. Let me tell you something. Them prayers ain't going nowhere. Ain't going nowhere. Got these little hats on, sitting on their rugs. Let me tell you something. You got the wrong God. Okay? See, people say, well, Pastor, you know, I got my best friend a Muslim. Listen, if you're a Christian and your best friend's a Muslim, you messed up.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? Listen, Allah has no son. Okay? God has a son. So if Allah has no son, and John 3:16 is our foundation. Okay? You take John 3:16 away and we have nothing. Okay? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Now, that must be the NIV.
Let me change that.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Okay? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But if you go to the mosque in Egypt, it says on right on it, Allah has no son. So there's a problem. Now I get along with the Muslims. Don't get me wrong. I get along with the Muslims, you know? And I'm like, okay, then we cool. But God has a son named Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Who was born of a virgin, who lived a sinless life, who was crucified on the cross, not for any sin he did, but for mine,
amen,
and for yours, and for everybody that's saved. And then they took him off that cross, and they buried him. And I like to talk to them. I said, what kind of tomb did they bury him in? Yeah, they buried him in. They buried him in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. No. What kind of tomb did they bury him in? I said, you ever borrow something? I said, you ever go to a hardware store to rent out lawn equipment and stuff? You tell him you only need it for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
He was buried in a borrowed tomb. Okay? And I always say to you guys, if you can't explain it to a 6-year-old, then you don't understand it enough. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. Okay? Why? Because he had said in Mark 10:30 that he was going to Jerusalem and he was going to be scourged and mocked and ridiculed and hated and crucified and put to death. But on the third day, we're going to rise again. Okay? Okay? And he did. And he did. He rose. We had saying it's up from the grave. He arose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He arose. How did I get there?
Lord, help me. Romans 8:28. I'm going to get Romans 8:28. I'm going to sit down. Okay? Because I'm not going to even try to get through all this because the Word of God is so rich. And we know, say, folks.
Amen.
Born again. Filled with the Spirit. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Oh, it's more. It's more. Don't stop there. Don't stop there, Joel, at good. Keep going. To them that love God and to them who are called. Called? What do you mean called? Called by the gospel. Okay, they called by the gospel, meaning they have heard the gospel message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's been explained to them in such a way that they really believe it. They really believe and they place all their hope and all their trust and all their faith in the written word of God, the gospel. Take all that? Too much of this easy believism. Yeah, take all that. You know, I don't know if it take all that to be a Christian. Yeah, take all that. Take all that. Believing ain't easy. So when they say, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe it. And they, well, that's all easy to do. No, no, explain believe it. That's what believe it means. You're called. You heard the call of God. You heard the call of God. And you received it as the truth. And you accepted it by faith. And now you understand Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace are you saved through faith.
Yes.
And not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not by works, not by penance, not by kneeling down on rugs, not by going out into the desert with Buddha. You're saved by grace through faith. And not of yourself. That rule about 80% of the people out. Well, you can lose your salvation. Yeah, you can lose it. You can lose yours. Because it's yours. I can't lose mine. Okay? Because I didn't start it. Philippians 1:6 says, he who has begun good work in you is faithful to complete it. Okay? If it was up to me, if it was up to me to keep myself saved, how'd that work out? I'd be unsaved before I take one step out of his pulpit.
Amen.
If it was up to me to stay saved, well, you know, I save you, but you got to keep yourself saved. How's that sound? How's that sound? Some people believe that. Well, you know, that's another story. Here's what Paul says. We were called according to his purpose. Okay. What was his purpose? What was his purpose? Think about it. What was a promise made in Genesis 3:15? What was a promise that God made in Genesis 3:15? Y'all don't remember? Jesus was coming. And he was going to do what? He was going to bruise Satan's head. Step on him. Jesus came into this earth to die for sinners. I'm going to stop. I know when to stop. Y'all might think I don't know when to stop, but I know when to stop. Now, do I want to stop? No. But it's time to stop. Okay. Let's pray.
Amen.
Joshua, what a great book. What a great book. Great lessons in Joshua. Be strong. Verse 6. Be strong and very courageous. Verse 7. Verse 9, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Now he's talking to Joshua. a warrior. Joshua was a warrior. But even as a warrior, doing God's work is daunting. Doing God's work is daunting. It's huge. You can't do this on your own. I don't take no credit for, I'm strong, I work out. No. If God take his hand off me and take his power from me, and I get up here and try to preach God's word, y'all won't hear it. You know, preach down in Atlanta. Something going on in Atlanta. I know it's a lot of, that's a lot of them boys down there like boys, but them preachers is off the chain. And then one preacher, they see when you don't preach the gospel, see, this is inexhaustible. And you're like the one man. I told y'all the story about the one man. He left a church. He said, I've been here 7 years. I preached the whole Bible. Let me tell you something. John MacArthur took 7 years to preach through John. Probably longer. You ain't preaching this whole Bible in no 7 years. But when you don't preach it at all, you're going to run out of material. Because now you're going to start doing little tricks and little games. And then now you got to entertain the people. And people like being entertained. And now you become what we call a preacher-tainer. Half preacher, half entertainer. And now you got to entertain the church because you got to keep them. Mm-hmm. This guy brought all kind of stuff up into the pulpit. I don't even want to say what he brought up into the pulpit. Trying to make illustrations. No doctrine. Just games. And when the winds blew and the rains came and the floods came and the house that was built on sand, what happened to it? Y'all know what happened to it. It fell. The Bible says it fell. And great was the fall. Now, right next door to that house was a man who built a house, and he built it on a rock. He built it on a rock. And when the rain came and the winds blew and the floods came, that house did not move. Why? Because it was founded on a rock. So people moving all the time. Listen. Stay with the word of God. I shall not be moved. How about that? Precious Lord, in the name of Jesus, we say thank you for this morning. Thank you for the word of God. You called Joshua, you said, be strong. And I hear Pastor. He said, Pastor Neil, be strong. Stay with the word of God. Battles are going to come. Troubles are going to come. People are going to hate you. Things ain't going to go your way. But stay with the word of God. Stay with the word of God. Joshua, stay with the word of God. All you guys, stay with the word of God. It ain't easy getting to heaven. Ain't no elevator. I mean, some people think that you got an elevator going to heaven. Ain't no elevator going to heaven. You got to get there by steps. You got to take the steps. And sometimes them steps is difficult. Take them steps. You learn more in adversity than you do in a time of blessing. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.